Welcome to Biennale to go, the podcast for the Biennale für aktuelle Fotografie 2022 in Mannheim, Ludwigshafen and Heidelberg. The individual episodes of this podcast are intended to offer the visitors the opportunity to engage with a range of works from the Biennale on their way between the six exhibition venues. This is because the length of the individual episodes depends on how one moves from one exhibition to the next, on foot, by bicycle, by public transport or by car. Both the artist and the curator will have their say. Have fun with it. So, hello to a new episode for the podcast Biennale to go for Biennale 2022, from where I stand. Today we have Mathieu Gafsou. Is it correctly pronounced?
Yes, very good. Hello.
And Mathieu Gafsou is an artist who lives and works in Lausanne, Switzerland. And after completing his Master of Arts in Philosophy, Literature and Cinema at the University of Lausanne, he studied also photography at the School of Applied Arts in Vevey. It's also in Switzerland.
Yeah.
And he's part of the exhibition Shaping Data. And now we would invite the audience to walk with us to the next exhibition from Reiss-Engelhorn Museum to Wilhelm Hack Museum, where the exhibition is planned. So, hello, Mathieu.
Hello, Alex.
Do you know something about the exhibition Shaping Data?
Well, a little bit. I know the list of artists involved, but of course, I only know regarding the pictures. I only know mine, so I don't have the global picture yet.
Okay,
but
then
I'm looking forward to discovering it.
Okay, before that, I am. Quoting a part of the concept of this exhibition.
Yeah.
So we can start with this. Yeah. The Shaping Data exhibition also presents future scenarios in which our optimized bodies and lives become the new norm. What does it mean to live as a human being in a highly automated environment, and how can we process data to create a more justified world? So why is your work part of this exhibition?
Well, my work is about transhumanism, so it totally fits it, because transhumanism is a way to augment your body or your mind using technology. Of course, it is totally related to shaping data, and it creates a lot of data to do this.
Okay.
What can be discussed is this idea that all this technology is improving life in a socially legit way. And this is something I'm not sure about.
Okay. So, what will we see in this exhibition? Could you describe something?
It's a documentary project using different typologies of pictures. You can see still lives of objects, something objects difficult to identify. You can see portrayal of people involved in the transhumanist movement. You can see sceneries like, surgery, for example. And one or two pictures that are a little bit more difficult to identify, which I call allegory in French. I don't know if we use the word in English, mm-hmm. which help us to think about the project, but are not directly documentary pictures.
Okay, so, could you describe one picture in special? Maybe the one with the guy with this.
This guy.
You know what I mean?
With Neil Harbisson, and he's having a camera, literally going out of his head. So initially, this guy, he doesn't see colors. He suffers from achromatopsy, and what is interesting is that he created a device that sees colors and transmits vibrations and sounds to him in order for him to understand what is surrounding him. Of course, it's a device that doesn't help him to see real colors, but it translates those into something interesting. And I really liked this guy because he was not trying to be more powerful. In a way, he was trying to transform a disability into something that can help him to be creative. So he had a really interesting point of view regarding transhumanism. And he still has.
And it's a simple portrait of a guy.
Yeah.
And you can see his profile a bit. Yeah. And then there is this camera or what else, this technology thing hanging in front of his head.
Yeah. What is really strange is he's proud to be called the first cyborg. In a way, he is, because on his passport, you can see his prosthesis, which is something really new.
Ah, okay. You can see in his passport picture.
Yes.
You see with this technology. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. He's the first person where you can see the device, the technological device in the photo of the passport. So he's quite proud of it. And in a way, he calls himself the first cyborg, the first real cyborg. So this is like a statement. And,
absolutely.
He never removes this, I think, or never publicly. So it now became part of his body. So for me, it was really interesting to have this guy involved in the project, of course.
But it's not permanently stacked to his body.
Well, I see.
He can put it off.
I'm not sure it's that easy. He doesn't like to speak about this. Maybe we should ask him directly the question.
Of course,
He doesn't like to speak about this. But what is interesting for me is that in a way, we all are Neil Harbisons because we are with our smartphones on us always, never leaving our body. Mine is in my left pocket right now. Yeah. And I'm sure yours is not that far away. And in a way, he is an allegory of what we all are now, but we don't see it on pictures.
But maybe the smartphone is not always and permanently connected to our body.
No, not always, but really often, I think. And it depends, of course, who you are, what you do. But there is this feeling when you leave home in the morning and you forget your phone.
Oh, yeah, that's horrible.
And you feel as if something was missing. So in a way, we became cyborgs for me because we are now in a fusional relationship with those objects, with those devices.
Yeah. Do you think it's just the start of something?
Well,
it's the beginning.
It's the beginning, of course it is. The only question I have is regarding climate changes and the need to get a bit slower now. So what position is going to win? I believe, and I'm sad of it, that technology is going to run as fast as possible and you consume as much resources as possible. But I'm a bit scared in a way that we are going to destroy everything in order to feel more powerful.
Okay. And your work is called H Plus?
Yes.
Yeah, so we didn't talk about that. So it's the name of this work is H Plus. And why is it called H Plus?
Well, H Plus was the first name of the transhumanist movement in the US, Humanity Plus. Humanity Plus. And I've totally stolen this. And also, I designed a logo, which is mine, which I liked because I use the H and the plus. And the plus becomes like a Christic cross. And in a way, for me, transhumanism, in a way, can be seen also as a new kind of relationship without a God. And I like this sentence by a very important transhumanist guy called Ray Kurzweil, he was asked, does God exist? And he answered, well, not yet. In a way, the idea for some transhumanist people is to create a new God that is a human being.
Okay. But do you think that it will end in the idea of that we try to not to die in the end?
Of course it is.
To live, it's always to live forever. Your work reminded me of this book of Harari, Homo Deus.
Yeah.
I know if you read that. And in the end, it's the same idea. It's just we are always trying to not to die.
Of course. And for me, that's why I make the connection with religion. Because whatever we do, even if we kill God, we are still looking for a way not to die. Because, of course, we all are scared. And this is what makes me, for me, transhumanism interesting. Because we all are fragile. I think we all are scared of dying. Almost everyone is. And I have some empathy for this movement because of this matter. In another way, I'm a bit scared that technology might be going too far away. But yeah, the feeling is balanced. And I hope that the feeling that we have while looking at my pictures is the same. We're a bit ambiguous. We don't know how to position ourselves regarding what we see. So it was my ambition.
Okay, and when I looked at your pictures, there are also pictures of pills. I remember right?
Yeah.
And this is very interesting because most of your pictures show something very technological, these technological parts of transhumanism. And then there are these pills. What are these pills?
Well, it's chemical prosthesis. We call those nootropics. So it's to, I wanted to have a chapter dedicated to this idea that we use things to improve our body every day, like coffee, for example. And for me, it is totally related to transhumanism in a way to improve something related to the body. Of course, not immortality. But if we think at Alphabet or Google, they have a big lab called Calico, in which a lot of former Nobel Prizes are working on pills that should help us to live longer. So in a way, pills could be the future of this kind of technology.
Oh, okay. So just another way of not to, how not to die.
Exactly. And what another thing related to pills is that now a lot of transhumanist people are eating powders, for example. They don't eat any more solid food, but just powder, really healthy, but not very good. And I was really moved by a book by the French anthropologist David Le Breton, who is called L'Adieu au Corps, Bye Bye the Body. And something strange I met while doing this project is that a lot of transhumanist people are not interested anymore in the body. Also, even in the pleasure. So for me, this was a little bit sad. And when I asked a guy in Russia, but what about the pleasure of eating? He said to me, at the scale of eternity, this doesn't matter. Pleasure doesn't really matter.
Okay. So this sounds like death.
Well, yes.
For me, no pleasure sounds like that.
Of course.
That's strange. And just one more question. So, when I look at your pictures and your work, I thought about, okay, but why do you think photography is maybe the best way to approach this thing called transhumanism?
Well, because a photographer needs a prosthesis to do his work. So in a way, I'm a transhumanist. Well, when I'm a photographer, and also it's an art that is related to technology and the history of technology. For me, this is really important. And Benjamin said that there is not any more aura in photography. Mm-hmm. And I also like this idea of this technological things that you can reproduce. And technology, I think photography is really the good medium for this.
Okay, maybe we can say that it all started with photography. Photography was the first transhumanism movement.
Yeah, maybe in a way. And but we could also say that the first hammer was the first transhumanist object and all the tools we're using, the beginning of something that we call today technology.
Oh, okay. Thanks a lot. I hope the listeners now at Wilhelm Haack Museum and can have a look at your work and the work of the other ones at the exhibition Shaping Data. Thank you a lot.
Thank you.